All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. We are doing our first non-in-person episode over Skype, but you know, as always, you know, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, follow me on Twitter at Hyken, follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Westerlund. If you have any questions or advertising inquiries, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Cody, Dwayne Wade is a Chicago Bull.
Emergency podcast because Dwayne Wade is a Chicago Bull. I think we spent, what, good 10, 15 minutes the other day explaining why it didn't make sense for the Bulls. So I guess it only made sense the Bulls to actually sign him. That's an event to a 2-year, $47.5 million deal that takes the Bulls up to the threshold of the salary cap. And Dwayne Wade will slot in immediately as the starting shooting guard in Chicago. That's 34-year-old Dwayne Wade on a Bulls team that wanted to get more athletic and younger. They have not trended that way. I am puzzled, Sean. How about you?
I don't get it either, and it's actually funny. Both of the Bulls' big free agent signings, Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, are both ones that we answered questions about before they happened, and we said that, no, they didn't really make sense, and they weren't very good fits, and then they both happened. But yeah, I mean, they shipped Derrick Rose out of town, a hometown kid with knee problems who isn't as good as he used to be and can't shoot from the outside, and then they brought in Dwayne Wade, who's 34 and has bad knees and can't shoot.
Yeah, that's kind of the Bulls' MO. I don't know what their plan is. I will say this: Dwayne Wade makes the Bulls better in 2016-17. If you think about it in these terms, they dumped the contracts of Mike Dunleavy and Jose Calderon in trades. Dunleavy to the Cavs, Calderon to the Lakers. Not a big thing for the Bulls. Didn't give up any first round picks or any big future things.
Oh, by the way,
Wade in.
Can we talk about GM LeBron helping the Bulls clear the cap space so that Dwayne Wade could stick it to Pat Riley?
That is absolutely unbelievable because, you know, that's the thing. Like, you wondered how this was going to play out and who had the leverage, and it completely came down to Dwayne Wade. I mean, the Bulls had this chance because Wade and Miami were mad at each other, basically, and it was a stalemate, and he finally got to the point where he just didn't want to put up with it with Pat Riley anymore. He felt disrespected. So, I mean, it was kind of a staring contest, and Wade finally left. But again, yes, that's not possible unless the Bulls could have dumped contracts. And Dwayne Wade, LeBron James continue to be boys forever. And LeBron came up big with Wade on this one, no doubt.
Yeah, and, you know, on the subject of this happening because of the Riley stuff, I am shocked by the amount of people who have been hitting me up on Twitter and saying that getting Dwayne Wade suddenly makes the Bulls a player in free agency next summer with, like, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and Blake Griffin and whoever else is a free agent next summer. And, you know, I know that's probably the Bulls' philosophy because they essentially signed Rondo to a 1-year deal. They're going to have a lot of cap space next summer. The cap's going up. Dwayne Wade didn't come to the Bulls because he was absolutely blown away with the Bulls organization and he really wanted to play for Fred Hoiberg and he really liked the direction that this team is going. This happened because he's from Chicago and Pat Riley lowballed him on his offer. Like, that's not going to be a factor. And I know Chris Paul is his boy, but Chris Paul is at the point in his career. Wade has 3 titles. Wade has the finals MVP. Wade doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. Chris Paul still has this stigma on him of having never gotten out of the second round of the playoffs. If Chris Paul is looking around, first of all, I think the Clippers are going to offer him the 5-year max, and he's going to probably end up re-signing just because, like, he's going to get that offer. But is he really going to look at the Bulls and say that's his best chance to get over the playoff hump when they have, you know, a 34-year-old, 35-year-old next summer, Dwayne Wade, and then, you know, Jimmy Butler, and then a bunch of, you know, questionable pieces around them?
Yeah, you know, that's another good point. I think it should be noted, the answer to that is no. I don't think Dwayne Wade's doing a lot to attract free agents. And the answer should be noted that bringing Dwayne Wade in, I know it was really far-fetched, but the Bulls only have room for one max contract now next offseason. And a lot of fans would say, well, they're not going to sign two guys anyway. And I would agree with that. They're not going to get two stars next offseason. But this does limit their financial flexibility as well next year. So that factors into it. Obviously, reports are that the second year of Wade's deal includes a player option. But, I mean, $24 million next year for 2017-18 when you're 35. He's probably going to exercise that and play on that contract in the final year. So I'm not sure what the Bulls' plan is, even, I mean, whether it's a basketball fit or a non-basketball fit. Like you said, I don't think Dwayne Wade's recruiting a bunch of people to Chicago to turn this thing around. But, hey, it should be said, the Bulls just attracted an A-list free agent, a man who's past his prime, but it was an A-list free agent, right?
This is even a bigger name than Pau Gasol. Because I think, you know, them getting Pau a couple of summers ago after they missed out on Carmelo Anthony, he was past his prime at that point, but that was still a multiple-time All-Star and, a guy that, you know, fans have heard of, and, you know, it was a big name. This is an even different level than that. Dwayne Wade is arguably behind Jordan and Kobe. He's arguably the third best shooting guard in NBA history. You know, he's a all-time great, you know, Hall of Fame type of guy, and he just went to the Bulls. And I know there were a lot of extenuating circumstances with his relationship with the Heat, but they did get a guy.
Yeah, it's a big, I mean, I think this should be a step forward in the right direction for the Bulls just in the recruitment process, because it's well documented they missed out on Carmelo Anthony in 2014. They wanted Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, some combo of them they chased in 2010. And to finally do it, I mean, they must have said something right. As you said, there were a lot of outside factors that involved this one, but they did lock a guy up. And hey, Wade's going to make them better. He averaged 19 points per game last year on about 46% shooting. The man can still get to the hoop really well and slash through a defense, get to the free throw line. So you slot in, you have a professional shooting guard. That's good. And D-Wade played 74 games last year. But the rest of the basketball fit is a little confusing to me. And that is obviously because neither Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, or Rondo is much of an outside three-point shooter at all, Sean.
This would have made a lot more sense from a basketball fit perspective if they hadn't signed Rondo. If it was just they brought in Wade and it was like, okay, you know, Jimmy Butler and Wade, that's a little bit awkward, that's a little bit redundant, but you know, now they've got a guy, they don't have to start Denzel Valentine on the wing right away. You know, this will be good. But then they bring in Rondo, too, and it's like that's just too many guys who, you know, want to control the offense and can't shoot. I think just from a talent standpoint, yes, they have upgraded themselves, and he does have more left at this point than Derrick Rose, because we've just seen what Derrick Rose has been the last couple of years. Wade, when he's been healthy, has still been, he hasn't quite been, you know, the 2006, 2007 Dwayne Wade that, you know, was Finals MVP, but he's still really effective, and, you know, he can still get to the basket, he can still do a lot of things when he's healthy. I'm just skeptical of how, you know, first of all, it's an awkward fit, and also just, like, how much longer is he going to be able to stay healthy? He's not getting any younger. The Bulls, you know, unlike the Heat are known for having one of the best medical staffs in the league, and the Bulls have a little bit spottier of a track record with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I want to give you some numbers on this. Dwayne Wade's a 28% career three-point shooter. Uh-huh. He was 16% last year, and he didn't shoot many of them at all. About one three-point attempt every two games for Dwayne Wade last year. Jimmy Butler, 32.8% career three-point shooter. Rondo checks in around 29%. And in addition to their outside shooting, they're kind of ball stoppers at times. Jimmy and Dwayne Wade like their isolation possessions and opportunities. That goes against everything Fred Hoiberg preaches. I think more than anything, Fred Hoiberg now has to adjust to his personnel. And here's a guy who couldn't do that last year well enough, and now the Bulls are asking him to do it to a greater degree. To me, that might be one of the most interesting subplots of all of this, is what is Fred Hoiberg's plan, which I'm sure we'll hear plenty about in the coming days or early next week. but they got to implement that and somehow make these guys happy and keep the ball hopping, even though they like to hold on to it.
Yeah, and it's just going to be one of these situations where he's going to have to manage, you know, all these guys want to be the guy, and, you know, Rondo is used to dictating the offense. That's why he clashed with Rick Carlisle, is because Carlisle was trying to get too hands-on. Jimmy Butler, obviously, we've already seen, you know, with Derrick Rose, you know, those guys didn't really mesh very well on the court. And then Wade, you know, originally, I mean, obviously they ended up figuring it out because they had too much talent not to, but when the big three first got to Miami, the idea was still like, you know, whose team is it? Is it LeBron's team or Wade's team? And that's when he's competing with a 26-year-old version of LeBron James, the best player in the world. That's not, nobody on the Bulls, all due respect to Jimmy Butler, nobody on the Bulls roster is even close to that level of a player. And so, like, this is just going to be a really interesting dynamic from a personality standpoint.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you bring up the Jimmy Butler part. Whose team is this now? Because everything the Bulls did hinted at it being Jimmy Butler's team, put his relationship with Fred Hoiberg in the spotlight. They said they've made a lot of progress, talk a lot this summer. And then you bring in this three-time champion, Alpha Dog, hometown guy who has a tremendous amount of credibility, a great track record, a smart basketball player. And how does he fit in, too, in the locker room? I think it's better in this sense that Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose were kind of the same age, so their career tracks were kind of on the same point. In this sense, Jimmy can look up to Dwayne Wade, so I think that's good, and maybe view it as Dwayne Wade not stealing his thunder. But for a team that had off-the-court drama last year, it is fair to ask the question too, whose team is this now, and how does it affect Jimmy Butler, your best player and personality on the team?
I do think there's a good chance, you know, if Jimmy is willing to kind of, you know, have Dwayne Wade be there as kind of the older presence, I think there's a chance it could help the locker room, because the Bulls, I mean, they had you know, with Joakim Noah gone now, they don't have that strong locker room personality that everybody rallies around, and Dwayne Wade has always been that kind of guy in Miami, so, you know, he could be, you know, the surrogate for, you know, what Joakim Noah brought off the court in terms of, you know, what he brings in the locker room. Like, I could see that happening. But if, like, yeah. but if you know, on the court they're kind of having conflicts about, you know, who gets the ball and who gets to, you know, control the offense, you know, that might interfere with that a little bit. Joakim Noah could be that guy because he's not the kind of guy that needs to be heavily involved in the offense. He was a guy who's an energy guy, a defense and rebounding type of guy. He doesn't need a lot of touches. Dwayne Wade needs touches, and so does Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and you bring up the touches thing. Remember last year, Fred Hoiberg, at the end of the season, he admitted that they were going to look into staggering the minutes of Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler more this season. Now, obviously, Derrick Rose has been traded. That wasn't an issue. But I think it would be really important to stagger D-Wade and Jimmy's minutes, because they do have some redundant skills in that they both like to do isolation. They both like to slash the lane, get fouled, get to the hoop, finish strong. Like, you go out there, like, you could play Dwayne Wade for the first, 6 minutes of the game or something, and then give him a break and let him come back out at the start of the second quarter when Jimmy rests for a five-minute stretch, and kind of give them more time to just be the offensive playmaker and initiator and creator, so they don't overlap so much. You think that's a good idea?
I think it would be smart to try that if you can find some combination that works for both of them, because, again, this is all going to be contingent on both Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade buying in and feeling like they're okay with, you know, where this stuff is going. And so if they can find some combination of that that would actually like help, you know, that they can both agree to, and yeah, I think it would help them. But then the big thing I just don't get is, like, where does this leave Rondo? Like, Rondo's place in all of this, because Rondo on offense is just a playmaker. He's not really any kind of threat to score. He had a good year shooting from the outside last year, but that was kind of an outlier from what he's done for his whole career. And he doesn't really go after his own offense. So if you have him just setting guys up, and then you got Wade and Butler both trying to kind of, you know, figure out who's going to get shots, like, that's going to put a lot on Rondo to do that.
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question. But, I mean, another million-dollar question I have is, to what end is this all for the Bulls? They're not better than the Cavs still. They're not better than the Celtics, who reloaded this year in the Eastern Conference. This acquiring Dwayne Wade puts them squarely back in the playoff picture. Like,
yes,
just I mean, a few days ago we were talking, are they going to go 500? Well, the Bulls, they're going to go 500 if Dwayne Wade's healthy. They're going to be an Eastern Conference playoff team unless there are big injuries, I think, with the addition of Dwayne Wade.
They'll win 45 or 46 games, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what? To do what? To get a 6 seed, a 5 seed, a 4 seed at best? Like, what's the grand vision here of adding Dwayne Wade? I mean, they're just staying relevant, I guess, for a couple more years.
Right, and they need, you know, they want to get that playoff revenue. They want to, you know, not totally rebuild. When they didn't trade Jimmy Butler on draft night, they had multiple offers for him. They decided not to trade him, and that meant they weren't going to just completely blow this thing up and rebuild. If they had done that, then I don't think they would have been signing Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade. And so I think they clearly are focused on staying relevant while they reload and, you know, try to, you know, save their space for free agents. Whether those free agents are actually going to come here is a different question entirely, and we talked about that a little bit, but I think they are definitely planning on staying competitive, and that's what this move showed.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about, like, how close the Bulls were to the end of the spectrum of blowing up and rebuilding. I mean, there were some enticing offers for the Celtics. Obviously, no deal the Celtics offered on draft night did the Bulls feel like they were getting a full dollar value, getting their money back for Jimmy Butler in any trade. That's why they didn't do it. But just the changing course of this, we thought maybe they're going to rebuild, and then boom, like in 24 hours, Dwayne Wade materializes, at first as a far-fetched plan. The Bulls had just started talking to him a little bit, and then, like, more serious. You hear more about Dwayne Wade, how mad he is with the Heat management and everything. And then, boom, he's a Bull.
He's talking to the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about it in that terms, if Dwayne Wade was going to leave Miami, Chicago made the perfect sense for him. Lots of money, hometown, some opportunity. He doesn't need to be in Milwaukee or out in Denver on a bad team in Denver in a tough Western Conference. But it's still, I mean, it's still nothing short of stunning to me that the Bulls did this and got this guy, but actually wanted to get this guy too at this point in their just team foundational rebuild retooling.
Yeah, I never thought he was going to leave, even basically right up until Woj reported that he had a verbal agreement with the Bulls. That was the first time I actually believed that he was going to leave Miami. I always thought, you know, he was taking these meetings with these teams, especially when the reports came out yesterday that the Bulls ended up not meeting with him because they had their flight get delayed and get pushed back, and then they were thinking about maybe doing it tomorrow. And then, like, I just always assumed that, you know, he was meeting with Mickey Arison, and I just assumed that he and Miami were going to get something worked out. But then the Bulls, even though they were the only team that he was talking to that didn't end up meeting with him, they were the ones that ended up getting him. And I guess the hometown factor and the fact that his kids are here and he has family here, like, that ended up winning out, along with the money that the Bulls were able to offer him that the Heat weren't willing to.
Yeah, just a miraculous recovery, I guess, from the Bulls to get this done on the phone. Don't worry about that $1 million, $1 billion, however much a plane costs, and just handle this, get it done. And we just didn't see it coming, and it was going to be the most Bulls thing ever if they hadn't been able to get on an airplane and see him, and then he returned to Miami because he didn't have a meeting. But the Bulls, it should be noted, have a long-standing relationship with Dwayne Wade, dating back to the 2010 offseason when they recruited him hard to come to Chicago when he was in his prime before he teamed up with LeBron. So they were plenty familiar with each other, and I think that, too, puts Dwayne Wade a little more at ease in a way that just going to Denver, people he's never talked to or been around maybe, would be a little different.
Well, they did have Mike Miller in the recruitment meeting in Denver, according to a couple of reports that I read. And Mike Miller was one of his most beloved teammates in Miami before the Heat let him go. So, I mean, he would have at least had Mike Miller to hang out with in Denver. And then with Milwaukee, like, apparently sources said he was a big fan of Chris Middleton, and that was going to be a thing that swayed.
Yeah, we should point out before we get out of here, we'll wrap it up soon here, but the Bulls now have 13 players on their roster And they have the $2.9 million room exception to add a player.
Yeah.
I believe it's that. And then you're talking veterans minimum contract.
I would imagine they're probably going to give a minimum contract if he decides to come over to Paul Zipser, the kid from Germany that they drafted. I would imagine he's going to get one of the roster spots. And then they'll have that $2.9 million. I don't know what they do with that now. I mean, I feel like the move is to add another front court player. Now that they've got another wing now in Wade, and they've got a starting point guard in Rondo, so I think they're kind of set at those two positions right now. I don't know what's really left out on the market, but if you can find some kind of backup power forward or center not anyone flashy, obviously, but like a veteran who's willing to take that $2.9 million, I think that's kind of where you look with that. And, I haven't really thought about names yet. That's going to be something we maybe look at in a future episode, but they do have that $2.9 million exception left to add somebody.
Yeah, and you could have a roster of up to 15 guys. Maybe someone here, you're going to Vegas soon, Sean. Maybe someone stands out for the Bulls there. But we will be back soon enough with more Dwayne Wade talk, more Vegas Summer League talk after Sean goes down there. As always, you can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. If you have any basketball questions, any advertising questions for us, follow us on Twitter at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken, at Locked On Bulls. And most of all, as always, subscribe on iTunes, find us on Stitcher, find us on Audio Boom, tell your friends' friends, anyone you can. We appreciate it as always. It's the start of a new era in Bulls basketball, a perplexing one. I don't know what we call it, but it will be interesting next year, no less, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be back with you guys soon. We don't know when the Wade and Rondo press conference is going to be, but we'll have stuff from that. If I'm not in town, Cody will be at that probably, and I will be in Vegas, and we will have some episodes from that. Take it easy, guys.